The casualties that occurred during war is a subject few soldiers wish to contemplate. However, the Torah recognizes this potential reality and thoroughly addresses it in this week's Sedra. An anointed Kohen offers words of encouragement for his troops to be mentally prepared for battle. There are some individuals who are given an honorable discharge. One who had built a house but hadn't inaugurated it, one who planted a vineyard but hadn't redeemed it, and one who was engaged but hadn't yet completed the marriage process. Rashi comments that these people have agmas nefesh, anguish of the soul. The difficulty with this explanation is, why are these the only exemptions? Suppose the soldier was in the middle of earning his doctorate that he was working on for many years. Wouldn't this too constitute agmas nefesh? However, the Torah for some reason doesn't consider that to be a valid exemption. As a general rule of thumb, the Dibur HaMalachah quoted at the onset of each Rashi indicates what the rest of the Rashi will be focusing on. When Rashi offered the explanation of Agmas Nefesh, he purposely quoted it as the Dibur HaMalachah of Ish Acher Yachtechenu, another man will inaugurate it. It's clear according to Rashi that Agmas Nefesh is coming about because the soldier is afraid that when he dies, someone else will complete what he started. A situation where no one could come and pick up from where he left off would not leave the same person with a level of Agmas Nefesh, and therefore will not hinder his ability to fight properly. Earlier in the parsha, we find an elaborate discussion of a man who kills negligently and flees to the Ari Mikla, to the cities of refuge. These cities were designed to protect the manslayer from the avenger of the deceased. These cities did not always provide protection. Only when the three cities of Eretz Canaan were constructed did the three cities on the other side of the Jordan River offer protection. It wasn't until the days of Yeshua that these cities were eventually constructed. The Gemara in Makos asks, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Oyev Kesef, Yispo Kesef, a lover of silver will not be satiated with silver? The Gemara answers, it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew that the three cities across the Jordan would not provide refuge as long as the three in the land of Canaan were not built. Nonetheless, he said, a mitzvah that comes in my hand, I'll fulfill. He then went and built those three cities. Moshe had the same desire to perform mitzvos as an individual who was an Oyev Kesef, one who has the continual thirst for acquiring property and assets. Toward the final moments of Moshe's life, we find him pleading to Hashem for the opportunity to enter into Canaan. Why did Moshe express the desire to enter the land? The Gemara in Sota provides for us the reason. Moshe wished to perform the mitzvos that could be fulfilled only in Israel. However, he was denied this privilege of this long life mission, and he was compelled to hand over the reins to his disciple Yeshua. Can you even begin to imagine how grief-stricken Moshe must have been? He started in the midst of Ari Miklat, he couldn't complete it. And now here he sees Yeshua bringing the Bnei Israel into Canaan. Yet another thing Moshe started but couldn't complete. That's true Agmas Nefesh. However, Moshe's official title is Moshe Rabbeinu, since he's our teacher in everything he says and does. His actions humble us by letting us realize how far we have to reach and where our priorities lie. When we're at war, our thoughts are on our possessions. Our Agmas Nefesh is on the thought of knowing that after death, someone may come and acquire my own house. Moshe's concern in doing instead as many mitzvos, righteous acts, in his lifetime that he possibly can. We both have uncompleted projects. However, the focuses of he and I clearly are quite diverse. Our grieving stems from the outrage of someone else taking something which we perceive to be coming to us. With the foresight of knowing who would take our property, we would likely display high levels of rage and anger toward that person. In Parashat Pinchas, we find Hashem shows Moshe Eretz Canaan and informs him he will not enter the land. Upon hearing such news, most of us would hope for chaos among the nation. We think, if I can't go in the land, then no one else can either. This is a selfish approach, but is the instinct of many of us who wish to feel important and indispensable. Moshe, our mentor, however, teaches us the appropriate way in which to respond. He turns to Hashem and requests a success for his nation. As he says, and let the nation not be like sheep who has no shepherd. Hashem then instructs Moshe to lean only one hand upon Yeshua. However, when he actually performed his task, the Torah tells us that Moshe leaned both hands upon his head to express that he accepted this decision wholeheartedly. These are difficult feats to achieve, to emulate the likeness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Throughout his life, he was constantly working to perfect the attribute of humility. But we too have the responsibility to try to improve our character. It's easy to feel that the world owes us and be frustrated at the success of others. A greater task is to embrace life's challenges with simcha, with genuine happiness. We must be our own shoftim, judges, to analyze the situations and conflicts that may face us. When we do this, we'll be better equipped to accept whatever life hands to us without envy or resentment. Good Shabbos.